Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Samach Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top of Daf Samach Hey. We are continuing with the issue of providing one's wife with a weekly allocation of wine. We pointed out up till now that when a man is supporting his wife through an intermediary, for whatever reason the husband is not around and he's entrusted the obligation, his obligation to support her through an executor, a shalish. So we saw in the Mishnah the different food items and necessities with which she is provided. Wine was not mentioned. So in that context, we continue. Dorash Rav Yehuda Ish Kfar Nivraya, Rav Yehuda from the community of Nivraya. V'amri lo, another version of the names, is Ish Kfar Nefor Chayil, that he's from that place, Nefor Chayil. Minayin Shein Poiskin Yenus Lisha, from where do we know that we do not allocate wine for one's wife? Shenemar, the Posuk says, this Posuk is in the context of the mother of Shmuel, her name was Chana. She was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And it says, Vatokom Chano Achrei Ochlo Beshilo V'Achrei Shesoi. Here we have to be sensitive to grammar. The Pasuk says that Chana arose after she was eating in Shiloh and after he was drinking. Shesoi V'lo Shesos. The grammar is emphasizing his drinking, her husband's drinking, and not her own drinking. So what do we see from here? We see that all that Chana did was she ate. She did not drink. And the reference, of course, is to the drinking of wine. Her husband drank. She did not. So we see that one's wife is not provided with wine. The Gemara asks, if you're going to make your point based on simple grammar, Ela Me'ato, the grammar indicates she was eating. Are you going to then say that in that incident she was eating and he was not eating? It was part of a meal. They had their meal and whatever goes along with the meal. And the Pasuk says she got up. She got up to leave. So you can't prove your point from the mere grammatical standpoint. So the Gemara answers, Anan, midashani kro bediburei kuamrinon. We're not focusing on the strict gender aspect of the grammar, but rather on the construction of the pasuk. The Gemara just said, midashani means from the fact that the pasuk made a change in its speech. Michti, let's look into this. Begavo kaosik veosi. The pasuk was focusing on Chana, and it says, and then she got up after she ate. My time was shoni. Why was there a change to focus on her husband just at that point? Shma mina. So from here we see, from the fact that there was this change in focus just at this point in the scriptures, shma mina shosoi velo shosos. From here we learn that only he was drinking and she was not. Meisvei. We raise an objection. Regila noisnin law. A woman who is a regular consumer of wine, so she is to be provided with wine. So the Gemara says, Regila shiny. If she is a regular consumer of wine, that's different. Di Omar Rav Chinuno Bar Kahana Omar Shmuel. We have a bracketed section. The language contained within the brackets isn't accurate, so we skip it initially. Shmuel says Regila Bifnei Baila Shnei Koisois. If a woman regularly drinks when her husband is around, she drinks two cups of wine. It should be pointed out, the Gemara will make mention of this later, that wine is an intoxicating beverage, and when an individual is intoxicated, especially when a woman becomes intoxicated, that has certain far-reaching ramifications. So Shmuel tells us that a woman who, when she's with her husband, when they have meals together, she drinks two cups of wine, then shelo b'fnei baila noisnim la koisechad. Then when her husband is not around and we make this food provision that we've been discussing, she is provided with one cup. However, eino regila b'fnei baila ella koisechad, if in the presence of her husband she is accustomed to drinking only one cup, then shelo b'fnei baila ein noisnim la kol ikar. Then when her husband is not around, we don't give her at all. Another approach to what Shmuel was talking about, Shmuel made reference to a case of a woman who is a regular consumer of wine. So another approach is regila, noisnin la letzike kedera. We will provide wine for her for cooking purposes. The Omer of Avo, Omer of Yochanan, Maisa Bekalosu Shel Nagdimon Ben Gurion. There was an incident involving the daughter-in-law of this famous wealthy individual, Nagdimon Ben Gurion. Sheposku lo chachomim sosayim yayin letzike kedero me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. That she was allocated through the rabbis a wine provision of two sauce. Sosayim is two sauce, a large quantity of wine for cooking purposes. Me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos on a weekly basis from Friday to Friday. And that was a large amount. Omra Lohen, the daughter-in-law of Nagdimon Ben-Gurion, said, Kach tifseku livnoseichem. You should have the good fortune of allocating for your daughters likewise. A sign of opulence, of wealth, so that you should also merit this. Tana, we're taught, Shemeris Yavam Haisa Velo Anu Achre Omein. We're taught that this daughter-in-law of Nachdimon Ben-Gurion really had been at this point she was a widow. She was waiting for her husband's surviving brother to marry her in Yibum. That's a sad situation of a woman becoming a widow. And therefore, when she wished the Chachomim, you should merit the same, it's like saying there's a certain undertone or innuendo that, well, that your daughters also should become widows and be in the position to have a mizonos allocation made for them. And of course, as the source says, velo onu achre omein, they didn't respond with the omein response, which is a response of confirmation. They didn't want to have their daughters be put in the same situation as this daughter-in-law of Nachdimon Ben-Gurion found herself. Now, there was a brief section that we skipped because the language in the brackets doesn't make sense as it is. So we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara had mentioned that if a woman is a regular consumer of wine, so then we will make some type of allocation. The Omar Rav Chinuno Bar Kanama Shmuel. You'll notice where we are. We're back up a few lines. We're Shmuel, and there's a number one, and the brackets begins. Regila noisnin la kais echad. If she's a regular consumer of wine, she receives one cup. She'ena regila. If she's not accustomed to drinking wine, you can just imagine the effect that wine will have on a woman that's not accustomed to drinking it. Noisnin la shnei kaisis. For a woman like that, we provide her with two cups. Well, this is my coma. What are you talking about? If a woman's regular and she might know how to handle her alcohol, so we give her one cup. A woman who's not accustomed to it, she'll get stone drunk and she'll go out and practice immorality. There's no end to what can happen. So what are you talking about? Omar Abaye Hochi Ko Omar. So Abaye presents the restatement as we read it already, that if she's regila b'fnei baila shnei kosis, if when in the company of her husband she's a regular consumer of two cups of wine, so then when he goes away, we'll give her one cup. However, as we said, if she's not accustomed with her husband around other than just one cup, when he's gone, we're not going to allow her, we're not going to allocate any wine for her. So now let's pick up the Gemara on the second wide line, Tana. Kais echad yafe li'isha. One cup of wine is appropriate for the woman. Shnayim nivol hu. Two already can lead to something disgusting. Shlosha toivas bepeh. A woman who has three cups of wine, she'll seek out intimacy. Verbally seek it out. In other words, she'll become proactive in that sense. She'll seek it out. Arba'a afilu chamor toivas b'shuk ve'eino makpedes. If she were to drink four cups of wine, she'll become so intoxicated that she'll seek out even a donkey for cohabitation and will have no concern about her own dignity, of course, because of the influence of so much alcohol on her. Omar Rava lo shanu elo she'ein baila imo. The teaching that we just learned is if her husband is not around. Avo baila imo les lon ba. If her husband is around, then we are not concerned. She can drink as much as she wants, because when she then becomes intoxicated and seeks out intimacy, her husband is there to control the situation and to provide whatever needs she requires. The Gemara asks, "Vaha Chana de Bailo Imo Havoi." The story involving Chana above was a case of her husband was around. You'll notice that was the pasuk that we cited in the upper part of the page, and we saw there that she did not drink wine even in the presence of her husband. So the Gemara answers, "Achsenoi Shaini." They were en route. They were travelers. They were at an inn. They were being hosted by others. The Omer of Huna, minay lach senoi shosir betashir shamita. From where do we know that someone who's traveling, who's being hosted by others, they're not to engage in husband-wife intimacy? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, vayashkimu baboiker, vayishtachavu lashem, vayashuvu vayavo el besom haramosa. The Elkanah Chana couple, they got up in the morning, went back home to Ramah, where they lived. Vayeda Elkanah es Chana ishto vayizkereo Hashem. And Vayeda means that he had intimacy with his wife. At what point? Hashto in. Now, yes, now that they're at home, meikorolo, but not as travelers. So that the fact that she wasn't drinking wine, even though her husband was there, that's only because they were achsanoi, they were travelers. They were being hosted by others. But as we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking on the side under the Mivneh heading, the volcano shape and double underline appear. These are Maisim Shenoshim Bol Shivsiku Lohem Bein Hayeter Yayin. Stories involving women that sought out a wine allocation, and that the double underline, you can see Psok Li Chamra is a repeated theme here, where the woman comes to the Rabbonim for a wine allocation. Chuma, this is a name of Abaye's wife. Chuma de Visu de Abaye Asoy Lekame de Rava. At this point, Abaye was not around. And she comes to Rava, Amrolei. By the way, note that this is a long story. We indicated with a long marking calling it Chuma, Chuma story. So she comes to Rava, Amrolei, Psok Li Mizoni. I want you to authorize a food allocation for me. Posak Law, he did so. Psok Li Chamra, provide for me a wine provision. Amrolei, Yodano Bei Benachmeni. Rava says, I know regarding Nachmeni. Nachmeni is an alternative name for Abaye. So I know Abaye, the lo have shosi chamra. He is a teetotaler. He doesn't consume wine. Omrolei, so Chuma says, Chaye Damar is an expression type of like, she swears, to have a mashki lei. B'shufrazi kihai, that I served him wine in a shufrazi, is a cup, a long cup, a tall glass, maybe a long stemmed vessel, kihai, the length of, kihai means like this, like the length of my arm. So she was demonstrating that, what do you mean, Abaye didn't drink any wine? I used to serve him wine in a goblet this long. Bahadi de komachvi lay, as she was demonstrating this, the length of the cup, she extended her arm. Igli dara, the flesh of her arm became exposed. In other words, she came in modestly dressed. But in demonstrating the length of the cup, the height of the cup, so her arm became exposed. Nofal nahira b'veidina, and a glow, a radiance was cast in the court. Kom Rava, Rava was overcome by this. Orl lebeise, he went home. Tova lebas Rav Chisda, and he sought out his wife. Bas Rav Chisda, the daughter of Rav Chisda, happened to be Rava's wife. He sought her out for intimacy. And it seemed to be at a time that was rather unexpected for her. Omra lei basra chizda. So Rava's wife says to him, "Man, havi ho'idno bebeidino. Who was in Beis Din today that has aroused you so much that you're coming seeking me out for intimacy? What happened today?" Omra omar la chuma devisu dabaye. So Rava answers that the Chuma, Abaye's wife, was in town today. She was in the court. Nafko Abasra. So Rava's wife went on the charge. She went out after her. Mochta la bekufi deshida. Here we'll just translate it. Exactly to take it literally or not is another question. You have to look into it further. But it says that she, mochta la, she beat her with some type of closet lock. Kufi is a manul, a lock. On a shida is a box, a closet. Rashi says, manul shel argos. And she was beating on her, ad afka lo mikule mechuza, until she chased her out of the community, the town of, all of mechuza, the town of mechuza. Omra lo. Rava's wife was charging her with the following. Katlis lech tlosa. You've been married to three men already, and they all died on you. V'asis lemiktal achrina. Have you come to kill another man? In other words, Rashi says, lemiktal achrina, shebos la'aros yofiach shi'ikvoitz ish alecha. You've come to expose your beauty. Apparently, she was a beautiful woman, and in exposing her beauty, she is attempting to allure some other man to be her fourth husband, who would end up dying on her as well. So she didn't want the Rabasra Chisda, Rava's wife, didn't want her in town whatsoever. She was a threat. Devisu de Rav Yosef Bray de Rava. Here's another story involving the wife of Rav Yosef, the son of Rava. And by the way, in the recent Gemara, we saw Rav Yosef Breidorova and the marriage and his premature return home. You can look back in the Gemara story there, back on the stories from Samach Bey, Samach Gimel, in our recent Shiurim. So here we see him again. Here it's the wife of Rav Yosef Breidorova, Asoy Lekame Derav Nechemya Brei Derav Yosef. And now she's coming with a need to Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef. Interestingly, this Rav Yosef Breidorova was sent by his father Rava to learn by Rav Yosef. And if these are the same people, so now we're dealing with the next generation. We're dealing with Rav Yosef's son is now dealing with the wife of Rav Yosef Breidorova. Omra lei, so she says, psok li mizoni, make a food allocation for me. Posak lo, and he did so. Psok li chamra, I want you to have the executor provide for me a wine. Make a wine allocation for me. Posak lo, and he did so. Omar lo, and he explained himself. That's Rav Nechemya, we'll call him the judge here, the officiating judge, said, Omar lo, yodanabu b'vnei mechuza, I know that the townspeople of Mechuza, the shasu chamra, they're wine drinkers. Devisu d'Rav Yosef brei d'Rav Menashe midvil, the wife of another Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe, from Dvil. Asoy l'kame d'Rav Yosef. Omar Omrole Psokli Mizoni, make a food allocation for me. Posakla, and he did so. Psokli Chamra, Posakla, and after requesting a wine provision, he did so. Psokli Shiroi, make a provision for me to receive Shiroi. Shiroi is a reference to garments. Omar Law, Shiroi Lomaloch, what do you need these kind of garments? It's a it seems to be, from the context of this Gemara, you'll see that Shiroi were expensive, was an expensive, fine type of fabric. So he asked, so what do you need that kind of clothing? Omrole, she answered, L'cho u'l'chavroch u'l'chavruroch. If you're asking why I want that type of clothing, I'll tell you why. I am the wife, the almona of a great rav, one of your colleagues. So Rashi says, "Lechavroch lechavroch shelo es bazeh al abrios mikvodi horishon." I shouldn't have to suffer indignation, a lowering of stature in the eyes of the community from the stature that I originally enjoyed. And this disparagement should not be lo befonecha v'lo befnei chavirecha. It shouldn't be in front of you nor in front of your colleagues. So that I'm a woman of, I enjoyed a certain communal standing, stature, and part of that involved fine clothing. And in order to preserve my dignity in your eyes and in the eyes of your colleagues, I am requesting that. We saw, amongst the other provisions in the Mishnah, Venosein Lamita, Umapitz, Vechule. Once again, we're dealing with a woman whose husband is not around. They're not physically together. He's went abroad or whatever. She's living separately. We're not talking, of course, about a couple that's divorced. We're talking about they're simply not they're not physically under the same roof. The Gemara asks, Mapitz umachtzeles loma la diyohav la. The Mishnah makes a reference to these different kinds of mats. Mapitz and machtzeles are types of mats. What does she need them for? Now, Rashi explains, he adds here, and let's look at the Rashi together, Mapitz and Machzeles, more than halfway down the Rashi column. Hare or shotuach al mito tov min ha-mapitz. A mat, one might think, is something that is an item that one needs because he uses that for sleeping. But a bed, as Rashi describes, had a leather center to it. In other words, if you can imagine a bed frame and a sheet of leather attached with the straps to the frame, so a person would sit and would recline on a leather bed surface. So that's better. That's better. Tovman amapitz. Why does she need amapitz when we're assuming she's got something better already? Now we continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Popo. We're talking about a community where they don't have beds with leather surfaces, but rather ba'asra. Ba'asra means in a location. Tenehigi, where their custom is, their minig, demolu puria bechavli demivgar law. The way they construct their beds in that community that the Mishnah has in mind is a bed. Just once again, imagine a bed frame, and instead of a sheet of leather that occupies the center of the bed, that creates the bed, rather it's ropes that are interwoven. So it's a type of it would look like a network of ropes that are woven. There used to be different kinds of lawn chairs that were made like this with this interwoven material, and the ropes, as the Gemara says, the Mivgar law, ropes themselves are coarse and they are uncomfortable. So up on top of this rope networking that constituted the bed surface, the mat would be placed on that, and upon that a person would recline with a greater degree of comfort. So that's why she needs to be provided with this mat. Tonu Rabbanan. Ein noisnim lo kar v'kesis. We don't make a provision for her to receive a kar v'kesis, are expressions that are one would associate with a pillow and possibly an additional mattress. We don't give her those things. Mishum Rabbi Nosson, amru noisnim lo kar v'kesis. And Rabbi Nosson, in the name of Rabbi Nosson, they say we do provide her with that. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances behind this source? We want to know what's the circumstances under which we would see this machlokes. If it's the custom of this particular woman, her family, everyone used a karvakesis. That's her family's way. That's where she comes from. My time in the Tanakama. Why would the Tanakama deprive her of that? And if it's not the way of her family, that the women folk in her family don't use these things, my time with Rabbi Nosson, why does Rabbi Nosson insist that she should receive this? Why should she receive special treatment? Lo tzricha, the source is necessary to talk about the following. Kagon, de urcha didei, velav urcha dida. It's a case where this woman's husband, he is accustomed to the karvakeses, and her own family are not accustomed to it. Tanakama Sova, the Tanakama who does not provide her with the karvakeses, is of the following opinion. Omar law, the husband says to his wife, Ki azilna shakilna lahu, when I leave, I'm going to take the karvakesis that I'm so accustomed to, I'm going to take them with me. V'chiasino, and when I come back, maisino luhu badoy, I'll bring them with me. He's the one that's used to using it. When he goes away, he takes it with him, and when he comes back, he brings it back with him. So, fine. She doesn't need a karvakesis. Now we have to understand, why does Rav Nosson want to make a special provision for her? Rabbi Nosson Savar, Rabbi Nosson figures, Omra Le, the wife, can respond to him as follows. Zimnen de Misrami Beinash Moshes, it sometimes happens that your return is very close to Shabbat. Beinash Moshes literally has to do with after sundown, but specifically referring to a return home as Shabbos is setting in. V'lo motzis maisi lehu. And you won't be able to bring your kar v'keses with you. Now you're going to come home, and you're going to want to lie on the bed, and what are you going to do? Umagnesni al aro, and you'll take my machzeles, you'll take the mat that I sleep on, you'll take it and leave me to sleep on the floor. Now, if you notice, we skipped three words that we have in these angular brackets. We did this based on the girsa that you find in the Tosfos. It makes our job in presenting the Gemara at this level, the Gemara markings Daf Yomi level, less confusing. So, as a result of the woman's fear of her being left to sleep on the ground, she wants to have the Kar V'Keses provided for her, that in the event that he does come home without his own, so this will be available for him. The Noisein Lo Kippa, the Mishnah described her being provided with a head covering, and Min Olim Mimoyed Lemoyed, and new shoes thrice annually. They would be given to her every holiday, the three major holidays, and clothing, a new set of clothing, Mishana Lashana, once a year. We have an unusual situation where the Gemara is going to use an expression very shortly, but in order to appreciate the expression, just a little background, or to explain what we've just read, is you're going to have a woman that in the course of the year is going to be wearing new shoes three times a year. In the meantime, the clothing that she's wearing is getting worn out. She gets the clothing only once a year. So shoes three times a year, clothing only once a year. Omar le Rav Papa Labaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, Hi Tano Shliach Artaloi Varomi Masana. The Tana is describing a person that's, Artaloi means naked, and wearing shoes. Now that's an imagery. Obviously we're not talking about someone that's actually naked. That's why we gave our little introduction to this. But he's describing a situation where she's going to look ridiculous. She's going to be wearing worn out clothing while having new shoes. Omar Lay. So Abaye answers, Tana b'mokim horim koi. The Tana is speaking in a location that is mountainous. The lo sagya below Tlosazugi Misani. It's as a result of the topographic conditions. The shoes that one wears will wear out quickly. And hence, the Tana is describing a situation where with less than three pairs of shoes throughout the year, a person simply wouldn't survive because the shoes get worn out rapidly. And how else will a person manage with any less than three pairs? So that the shoe wearing out being so rapid won't leave her in a situation where she'll be, as described, Artaloi Varomi Masani, naked and wearing shoes, which, as we said, is a descriptive situation of something absurd. She won't be like that. The Agav Urche Komash Malon, and by the way, we're being told, Denisvinu Nialo Bamoyed. The shoes, as my understanding goes, the shoes are going to be worn throughout the year. It's on an average of 4 months. Since the topographic conditions are as we described, we'll assume that a person has an average level of mobility that is maintained on a consistent basis throughout the year. So the shoes are going to wear out every 4 months. The question is when do we give her the shoes? When do we present them to her? So the Tana is telling us that, by the way, we give her the shoes, we present them to Bamoyed on the holidays. Kihechi dineve lo simcha bo gavaya. This will give her a sense of happiness, which we want to experience at the time of the holidays. But as far as it would be very unreasonable to assume that between Pesach she's going to get a new pair of shoes and Shavuos, which is 50 days later, 7 weeks later, that the Pesach shoes are going to be worn out by Shavuos. So of course not. Rather, she's going to stagger the actual wearing of the shoes as we described, but the presentation of the shoes should be done at holiday time to give her a good feeling, a feeling of joy. The kelim shel chamishim zuz, the value of the clothing that she is allocated once a year is 50 zuz. Omar Abai, the Mishnah is saying chamishim zuz pshiti. We mentioned in a previous shiur that there is a dual coinage system where you'll have coins that have the same names, but one system is 8 times more valuable than the other. Just by way of just thinking of things, you can have a situation of an American dollar and an Australian dollar. They're both called dollars, but they have different values. So in the Gemara's also had, in the time of the Gemara, there was a similar situation. You have Kesef Medina and Kesef Tzuri. So the Tzuri standard being much more valuable, more expensive, worth more than the Medina coins. So Abaye says she's provided with 50 zuz pshiti. Pshiti is a reference to the zuze Medina, the Medina currency, as opposed to the Tzuri currency. Mimai, how does Abaye know that? Midikotani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, Bamed Vamamurim Be'oni Sheb Yisrael, the allocations mentioned in the Mishnah are the we call it the lowest level, the minimum amount. They address a poor man. Avol B'mechubad Hakol Lefi Kvodo. But if a man of means is leaving his wife under the charge of a shalish, of an executor, then it's according to his means. So that the chamishim zuz of the Mishnah is called the minimum amount, and that's what we're dictating to a poor man. If you were to think that the 50 zuz in the Mishnah is a reference to the actual or the tsuri standard, ani chamishim zuz menole, a poor man, where would he have 50 zuz for clothing? So it's a lot of money. Elashmamino, rather, we can prove from our Mishnah, like Abaye said, chamishim zuzi pshiti, 50 zuz on of the Medina standard. V'ein noistim lo chadoshim v'chule, tonu rabbanan, moisar mizonos labal. Mosar blois leisha. Rashi says Mosar mizonos kigon isha shemizonos amurim mishosenu oidfim lo sheino ravtonis. A woman whose food requirements are less. She's not a ravenous type woman, and the amounts mentioned in the Mishnah are more than she will consume. So that extra is something that the husband keeps for himself. However, the mosar blos, that's a reference to clothing that are worn out. The worn out clothing the woman keeps for herself. The Gemara asks, and here the Gemara is going to be focusing on this as our topic, as we indicate on the side under the nosay, the issue of mosar blos. Mosar blos leisha lama lo, what does a woman need her worn out clothing for? Omar Rachbo, Rachbo is a name, Rachbo says, Shemiskase bohen bimei nidosa, kidei shelot izgana al baila. A woman every month, if things are relatively normal, our standards. So a woman, every month, experiences a part of the month, a period of time, where she's a nida, where she's forbidden to her husband. So it's important for a woman to have, we'll say, a change of clothing, a second set of clothing, which she will wear during her prohibited period of time, and she'll wear those worn-out clothing during those weeks. Because otherwise, Rashi explains, if when she is tahora, when she is permitted to her husband, she's going to wear the same clothing that she was wearing when she was forbidden, it's going to be a put-off. It's going to distance him from her, and we don't want that. We want them to be close with one another when she is permitted. So to ensure this, we must provide for her, as we do, the retaining of the worn-out clothing that she'll wear during her prohibited time. When she becomes tahora, when she is purified, she'll then put on the newer quality clothing, which will ensure this attractiveness to her husband. Omar Abaye Naktinon, we have a tradition. Moisar Blois Almona Liorshov. When you're dealing with a woman who is an Almona, and she, she's a widow, and she has a, she's provided with her needs, as we've learned in the past. The worn out clothing of the almona, who's being supported from the estate, the worn out clothing are given back to them. She gets a new set of clothing every, once a year, to the tune of Hamishim Zuz, as we've said, and the worn out clothing they are to receive. And the explanation is as follows. Hosam hu delotizgani ba'apei. Above, and we have the arrow above, this is a couple lines up, we gave the explanation of why a woman should have a second set of clothing, the worn out, she should maintain the worn out set as well. Delotizgani ba'apei, that she shouldn't become undesirable in her husband's eyes. That's where you have a married woman, and we're concerned that she doesn't become distanced from him. He shouldn't be put off by her. However, when you're dealing with a widow who's in the home of her husband's heirs, we're not talking necessarily about her own children. There are many situations of a widow being in the home of people that are not her own children, but they are her husband's heirs. Well, we don't want her we don't want them to come on to her. In the almona case, tiskani vitiskani, it's to the advantage of the halacha that she should yes appear undesirable. Genai, negative, she should appear negative to them. So that when she the clothing she's wearing when she is a nida herself is the same clothing that she'd be wearing when she's not a nida, that will just only enable or help the maintenance of a distance, physical distance between the almona and the other people in the house. The husband's children, the sons of the husband, are strictly forbidden. They can't marry her, for example. She is called Ashes Aviv. So we're not interested in any sense of attraction in the case of Amona. Therefore, she has no reason to hold on to the blois, the worn-out clothing. Noisein lo mo kesef v'chulei, and it went on to say, in the mission of Echeles Imoy milele Shabbos lele Shabbos. And that is the topic of our Gemara now. There's a machlokas, how to explain this expression of eating with him from Friday to Friday. My Ocheles. And we saw a reference to this in our previous shiur. What does Ocheles mean? Rav Nachman Omer Ocheles Mamish. Literally, they are to eat together even if the husband is not around during the week, or he's entrusted her support to be provided through an intermediary, but on Friday nights, the husband and wife shall eat together. That's Rav Nachman's approach, Ocheles Mamish, literal, having the meal together. Rav Ashi Omar Tashmish. Rav Ashi says, Ocheles Imo Leil Shabbos is a reference to physical intimacy between husband and wife. So we have a machlokas, how to interpret the word Ocheles in the Mishnah. Now, in order to evaluate this, we have the Gemara goes through a couple of attempts. On the side, you have a Mivneh structural note, and the triangle highlights Kushios Amadom Ocheles means Tashmish. We're going to be raising questions, and we'll see answers. Raising questions against the opinion that said it's a reference to Tashmish. In other words, questions against Rav Ashi. Tanan, Ocheles Imoi Lele Shabbos. That's a quote from the Mishnah. She is Ocheles with him Friday nights. Bishlam Olamadar Machilo. Things make sense according to Rav Nachman, who says it's a reference to food consumption. Hainu dekotoni Ocheles. That's why the Mishnah chooses that word. Elolamadar Tashmish. Amai Nokan Ocheles. But if the Mishnah is really talking about intimacy, why does it use a different word? Why does it use the word Ocheles? The Gemara answers Lishnam Alia. The Mishnah here is being faithful to the way of the sages throughout rabbinic speech in seeking out euphemistic, clean, refined type speech. Lishna ma'alya. Kinechtiv, and to demonstrate this, we quote a pasuk where the word ochla appears, but it's really a reference to intimacy. The pasuk says, "Ochlo machta piyav yomra lo paalti oven," and it's describing something prohibited, and it's describing an act of immorality, and it uses the word ochla. And the pasuk is saying she's ochla machta piyav. She wipes off her mouth and says, "I didn't do any sin." But in the interpretation and the explanation of that pasuk, it's very clear that ochla is a reference to an act of intimacy of an immoral nature. So the word ochla is a word that's an appropriate synonym for tashmish. Meisve, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer Ocheles Belele Shabbos V'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that they are Ocheles on Friday nights and on Shabbos by day. Bishlam Olamadar Ma'achila Hainu Dekotoni V'Shabbos. According to Rav Nachman, this source makes sense. It says that they eat a meal together on Friday night, and they eat Shabbos by day. Elo lamando mar tashmish. But according to Rav Ashi, who said that the word Ocheles is a reference to intimacy, tashmish b'Shabbos mi'ika. Could there be such a thing as intimacy on Shabbos day? V'omar avuno, Yisrael kedoshim hein, v'ein mishamshin mitoseyin b'yom. The Jewish people are a holy people. They are, and holiness is manifest by modesty. And one aspect of modesty is intimacy between man and wife. Between husband and wife, done in an unlit environment, in darkness. So, that being the case, how can the source say Ocheles and say on Shabbos and that possibly being a reference to intimacy, because you're in effect saying intimacy is done Shabbos by day, Shabbos daytime? The Gemara answers that they're not mutually exclusive. Ha'omar Rava. Rava has explained in the past. Bevayis ofel muter. We used the term before, an unlit environment. You can have an unlit environment even by day. If they say, draw the curtains or close the shutters. A bevayis ofel means a dark room. So if that be the case, you can read the source featuring of Shimon Leal saying that she's Ocheles, it's Tashmish with him Friday night and Shabbos by day. As far as your concern of lack of modesty, It's talking about a case of a bias ofel, a dark room. The topic heading on the side of the Gemara says Lazun Bonov Katnik Tanim, the issue of supporting one's children that are very young until 6 years of age. Dorash Rav Ula Rabbi Ula Rabba Apischa Debei Nesia, the great Ula or Rabbi Ula Rabba lectured, he taught at the entrance of the leader's house, the Bei Nesia. Bei Nesia was the Nasi, was the leader of the Jewish community, and he lectured over there and said, Afalpi Shomru Ein Adam Zon Es Bonov Uvenoisov Kishein Ktanim, that even though a person is not legally obligated to support his children, even if they happen to be minors, Avol Zan Katnei Ktanim, however, if they're exceptionally young, then a father is obligated to provide them with food. Ad Kama, up till what age is this legal obligation? Ad Ben Sheish, until 6 years of age. Kidin Rav Asi, in order to appreciate this, we'll see this through Rav Asi's teaching. Yom Rav Asi, Koton Ben Sheish, Yoitse Be'eruv Imo. A cotton up till 6 years of age, if there is a question of which direction should a child go on Shabbos, if it's an issue of leaving town, and the father wants to go in one direction outside of town, and in order to do so, he establishes an Eruv Tchumin, sets food down. We discussed this in one of our recent shiurim, where he sets food down at a distance of up to 2,000 amas outside of his town, enabling him to extend his walking rights on Shabbos an additional up till 2,000 amas. I can go 4,000 amas east of town. And the mother sets down a similar Eruv Tchumid, but in the opposite direction, west of town. The child is going to go with whom? And so the Rav Asi says that the child will not go with the father, the child will go with the mother. So we see from here that up till 6 years of age, the child needs his mother. He's dependent on his mother. And with that in mind, just like the husband supports his wife, i.e. the mother of the child, so since the child is like almost an appendage of hers up till age 6, food must be provided, again, an obligatory provision of food for the child. Now we continue in the Gemara, Mimai. Rav Asi said that a cotton ben sheish is yotze be'eruvimo. From where does he know that? Mida kotoni, hoysa menika, a woman who is nursing a child. Pochasin law, mimais yodel, we have less expectation by way of what she has to produce for profit. Umosifin law al mizonoseha, and we increase the amount of food that she is to be provided with. She's a nursing woman. My time, why is it that we add food? Lav mishum deboi lemechal bahada. Isn't it because the child has to eat with her? The Gemara says, Vidilma mishum dechoilahi. Maybe the additional provision is because she's infirmed. Im kain, if the additional provision is because she's infirmed, listening, it should say im hoysa choila, my im hoysa manika. Why does the Mishnah feature the fact that she is nursing? So it's the nursing element that is causing the increase in food provision. So and it's then based on this that the food must be provided for the child as well. So that would be a good source of a good source for what we're looking for, that there's an obligation to provide for the food of infant of young children. And one says, no, it's not convincing. V'dilma ha komash malon. Maybe what the source is telling us is distam menikos choylois ninhu, that your standard nursing woman has the status of someone that's ill. So the increased food provision isn't on the basis of the need of a father, the obligation of a father to support his child, but rather it's the obligation of a husband to support, to add to the needs of his wife that is categorized as ill. Itmar mahu moisif law. What's to be provided by way of this increase because she is nursing? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, moisifin law yayin. We add to her provisions, wine. Shayayin yofel lechol of wine is beneficial for milk production. As you can see, that brings us to the close of the fifth perek of Ksubas, and now we begin the Mishnah of the sixth perek. Mitzias u'isha u'maisiyodeo lebayla, items that a woman finds, and work that she does, and work and production, and income from her activity, that income goes lebayla to her husband. The Yerushasa, let's say a married woman inherits some property, inherits something. She enjoys an inheritance from someone that died. Who ochel peros b'chayah? The husband is entitled to the byproducts, the benefits of that particular property. So now Rashi explains that if it's a case of a field, the field is then her name is on the title of the field, but the fruit, the produce that the field yields, that goes to the husband. Boishasa ufgama. If a woman is subject to indignation or embarrassment by some outsider and has to compensate her for that, pagoma is any depreciation. If, let's say, she was attacked and that causes a depreciation in her value, and for that she receives compensation, shelah. So boishas and pagam, these monies go right into her pocket, into her personal account. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser Omer, Bizman Shebeseser, when the, as we just described, the Boshes Begam is something that's hidden, then Lo Shnei Chalokim Veloy Echad. She's entitled to 2/3 of those funds, and the husband one. Ubizman Shebegolui, when it's something that is overt, something that's visible, loy shnei chalokim velo echad, then he is entitled to 2/3 and she one. Rashi adds a little bit and he says ubizman shebegolui sheha aboishes sheloy, he's embarrassed caused the embarrassment is something that's overt, so then the husband also experiences embarrassment. She becomes disgusting. Could be that some type of physical attack was made on her, leaving her looking in such a way that it's embarrassing, and that's something that the husband also suffers from. So when it's gului, when it's overt, when it's visible, so then the husband is entitled to this increased amount of receipt of funds. The Mishnah continues, Shalom, the money that the husband is to receive, Yinosei Miyah, that's paid as cash immediately to the husband. Vishalah, the money that she is to receive, the compensation she is to receive. So just you have to just imagine it's a cash compensation or whatever. Yilokach ben karka, whatever her compensation is made, however it's made, it's translated into land. In other words, if it's a cash payment, you'll then buy buy a piece of land with the money that she would receive. The land is in her name. She holds the deed to the land. The husband is entitled, though, to the fruits produced by that land. The Gemara asks, in reading the opening of this Mishnah, it seems to be redundant. My komashmalon tanina. We have a question that lasts a few lines. What do I learn from our Mishnah? We've learned this already. And here we go through a Tanaic source that we've seen in the past. Ho'av zakai bebito. A father has the following rights with regard to his daughter. Bekidushah, bekesev shtar bebiya. A father has the right to marry off his daughter through the different means of marriage, through either receipt of money or receiving a document or by giving her over to intimacy. Zakai b'mitziosa uvemaisiodeo. A father is entitled to the items to be given the items that she, his daughter, finds. Uvemaisiodeo, work production. Ubaforasodeo, a father can absolve her vows. Umekabel esgita. He, in the event that she's a minor and that had been married off, and now she's being divorced, the divorce document is given by the husband to her father. V'eino ochel peros b'chayeha. However, a father does not consume the fruits of land that she might be in possession of. Niseis, a girl, gets married. When she gets married, yeser olav habal, the baal has additional rights that the father did not have. Shehu oichel peros bechayah, the husband has everything the father had, and above that he also is entitled to the fruits of land that his wife has. Well, in this list you can see the very points that the Mishnah had made reference to. The Mishnah made reference to Mitziah, and the Mishnah made reference to Maisiyah Deha. Those are examples 1 and 2 in this particular, the Tanaic source we just read. So having this Tanaic source, what do I need our Mishnah for? You'll notice, by the way, by way of our emphasis in the source, we had dashed, underlined, Mitziasa, Maisiyah Deha, and Yeser Olav HaBaal, indicating that the Baal gets these things. The Gemara says, you want to know what we need our Mishnah for? Boishes upegomah, it's the richolei. The Mishnah had a special section dealing with the payment of boishes and pegam. Plukta de Rebbe Yehuda ben Beseva v'rabonan. And the Mishnah, our Mishnah, was needed specifically for that, to teach the machlokes tanoim regarding the payment of boishes and pegam. Toni Tano Kamei de Rava. Before we can really go further, we should pay attention to the topic heading on the side, the Nosei, and it reads as follows. Lefi Rabbi Akiva Metzia Seisha Lemi. According to Rabbi Akiva, who receives the found items that a wife attains? There's a tatnosei, a subtopic, hadofa, im tase melocha yoshmi ma sheposku lo chachomim, lemi, a woman who produces more than the amount that the chachomim had ruled, the chachomim had established. And we have seen this already in the past. In the previous perek, we saw those amounts. Let's say a woman produces more than that. Who does it go to? Labaila, Laatzma, does it go to the husband? Does she keep it? By way of markings, we're going to see a diamond, and that, under the Mivneh heading, is Havlotas Mitziah. we're here to highlight the word metzia, and the house marking introduces Kusha's questions. So we're now back to the Gemara, second line from the bottom. Tani Tano Kamei Derava, an expert in Tanaic literature, he's called a Tana. He stated in front of Rava the following source. Metzia su isha la'atzma. Articles found by a wife, she keeps. Rabbi Kiva Omer Labaila, it's given to her husband. Omar Le. Now, note that we're starting a question that lasts till the fourth line from the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Rava asks, the source as it is hard for me to understand. Hashta uma ha'adofa de maise de'ahi. Mind you, ha'adofa. Ha'adofa means that which is beyond the basic ma'isiyadayim, the basic amount that a woman is expected to produce. If she produces above that, that's called the ha'adofa. It's an extension, we'll say, of the ma'isiyadayim. And the ma'isiyadayim itself, the basic ma'isiyadayim, that the husband gets. He receives your basic ma'isiyadayim. What about the hadofa of that, the extra? Rabbi Akiva says regarding that, Om Rabbi Akiva Latzma. Rabbi Akiva says she gets that. Notice we're on the top line of Samach Vav Amud Aleph right now. So when it comes to hadofa, which is an extension of something that belonged to the husband, yet she gets that hadofa. Metziyasa lo kol shekein, things that she finds, all the more so. And here we give you the source in which Rabbi Akiva appears. But the main issue right now is, how can the source taught in front of Rava have Rabbi Akiva ruling that things she finds go to the husband? As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, things she finds, all the more so she should be able to keep. If she can keep Hadafa, certainly she should be able to keep the Metziah. So as the Gemara goes on, it gives you the source for the issue of the Hadafa. If we skip it momentarily, though, you see that we're using a bracket marking. Just go down just to the end of the bracketed section. The Gemara answers, you raised a serious problem, so you know what? Switch things around. And the switched around source would read, Metzia Suisha Labaila, Rabbi Kiva Oimer Liatzma. Well, that's what you wanted it to come out as, and hear it. This is the more accurate reading. However, that leads us into another question, which we'll get to momentarily. And we said that we have a bracketed section, because it was mentioned, Rabbi Kiva holds that the hadofa of ma'isiyadayim is something that essentially belongs to the woman herself. This is not. And we're reading on the second line from the top, the Tanaic source demonstrates this as Rabbi Akiva's position. Imagine a woman vows, and this is a topic we've seen already a few times in recent shiurim. A woman vows, Koinam shani oisin lepicha. She vows prohibiting to her husband her work production. Eino tzarech lahafir. The husband doesn't even have to bother voiding that vow. Very simply because she's obligated to produce the ma'isiyadayim for the husband, and therefore she doesn't have any right to make a vow that counters a pre-existing obligation. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yofer. Rabbi Kiva says it would be a good idea for the husband to absolve that vow, to rescind that vow. Shema tadif alav yoiser min haroi lo. She might produce more than the basic amount. It's true that the basic amount she can't prohibit. However, any amount above that, that's hers. And since it's hers, the vow she makes concerning her things takes root. And if he wants to be in an unpleasant situation of having to be prohibited because of her vow from the ha'adofa, he had better rescind that vow upon hearing it. Well, what do we see from here? We see that according to Rabbi Akiva, ha'adofa belongs to the woman. Hence, her vow would have relevance regarding that. Therefore, how could it be that Rabbi Akiva, who says the ha'adofa, which is an outgrowth of Ma'is Yadayim, which belongs to the husband, and yet the ha'adofa she keeps, the metziah thing she finds has nothing to do with the husband. She finds it. All the more so, she should be entitled to keep it. The Gemara continues, Eloipuch, so switch the source around. Metziah so isha labayla, Rabbi Akiva merely atzma. As far as Shitas Rabbi Akiva is concerned, she keeps the metziahs. The Gemara asks, though, and there, again, you see a long question, the house marking introducing the question, V'ha ki also ravin amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'hadofa shelo ayidei adchak, kule alma lo pligi debal have. That essentially, the question, there's more information in the question, but the ikur question is up till this point. What's the ikur question? It was mentioned here in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that hadofa, extra production that comes with ease, shelaya de'adchak. A woman who's very, we'll see later in the Gemara describing of a woman who is capable of multitasking. Oh, someone like that. Where she'll produce quite a bit without any extra efforts. We'll see more about this later. That is called hadofa shelo yadei yachak. She doesn't have to strain herself for that. Everyone agrees that goes to the husband. And now in raising this point, we're associating metzios, things that she finds, with hadofa shelo yadei yachak. So, By presenting this source in this reversed fashion with the metziah and Rabbi Akiva saying she keeps it, why should she keep it? Rabbi Yochanan says everyone agrees that it should go to the husband, just like hadofa shelo al yedei adchak. The Gemara answers, maybe it'll be a surprise to some, but Omar Rav Papa, if we skip the bracketed section, immediately go to the answer. Rav Papa says metziyosa ki hadofa shelo al yedei adchak domi. Plukta de Rabbi Akiva, Rabbonan, referring to Metziah as Hadofa, not as something Shilay Adchak, but Hadofa Sha'al Yedei Adchak, that in fact is a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbonan. It's not something everyone agrees with. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, a found item, something she finds, Rabbi Akiva will call it al yedei adchak. And as a result of it being something that doesn't come easily, Metzias, and if you look in the Meforshim, you'll see Rashi describes seeking out found things like fish that are washed up onto the river banks, or coming upon a deer that broke its leg, and these are things that you don't come by easily. You have to go out of your way to find them, to trouble yourself in taking them. Therefore, there's room for saying that a metziah is not something that comes easily. As far as how to categorize it, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, he will tell you that it's considered ayidei adchak, and therefore she keeps it. She's able to la'atzma, just like we saw in the switched around version a few lines up. Now, we did skip a few lines. In raising the question, we said, but isn't everyone in agreement that hadofa sheloy de'adchak goes to the husband? And in our question, we were assuming that metziah is like that. It's like sheloy de'adchak, something that the woman does not extend herself for. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokas? Shal yedei adchak, Tanakama sover labaila. The hadafa that comes with efforts, with extended efforts, the Tanakama says that goes to the husband. And Rabbi Kiva sovar la'atzma. Rabbi Kiva holds that that which she has to, the hadafa that she achieves, but only through extending herself, that she keeps. So that when you see, let's say, references to Rabbi Akiva holding that the ha'adofa is something that is under the woman's jurisdiction, that ha'adofa sha'al yedei hadchak. And as we saw, the answer given by Rav Papa, that a metzia is in fact considered like ha'adofa sha'al yedei hadchak, something that's hard to come by. And as Rabbi Kiva said in the bracketed section, it is la'atzma. And that parallels the epuch approach we presented five lines from the top, where you see the diamond, and there Rabbi Kiva was saying that the metzia is la'atzma, just like hadofa shayidei chak is la'atzma. Boy Rav Papa. Ostolo shtayim bevasachas mahu. Imagine a woman that's capable of doing two things at once. Boy Ravina, shloisho arba bevasachas mahu. Imagine a woman's capable of doing three or four things at once. And it produces hadofa. She's able to produce more than the minimum amount required. Who gets that? Teku. So that remains unresolved. To appreciate this a little more, let's take a look at Rashi. Shtayim shalosh v'arba v'asachas shemeres kishuim. Imagine a woman is serving as a guard of kishuim. Kishuim is a type of vegetation growing in a field. So she's guarding the kishuim. V'toiva pishton, and she spins flax, from which we produce linens. U'melamedes shir l'noshim bischar, and as she's watching the kishuim and spinning the flax, she's also teaching song, music, for pay. U'mechamemes beitzim b'cheika, and she helps in the incubation of eggs, chicken eggs that need warmth. So she's hires herself out as a human incubator by having eggs in her lap, wrapped in maybe in her apron. Oh, beitzei toiloyim, or simeshi shanoshim mechamoy soyson b'cheikon v'heim notzrin. Or these are worms, that silkworms that also are hatched by the woman providing warmth. Rashi goes on, mahu mihavei k'al yedei adchak oylo. Now, here's this woman, highly skilled in multitasking. She's producing a very respectable income from all of these actions that she's doing at once. How are we to view that? Is that hadofa yedei adchak or not? And if you say, for example, that no, the fact that she's able to do all these things at once doesn't put additional strain or demand on her. So then it would be, if you say that, it would be shaloi adei adchak, and everyone would agree that the husband would get all of that extra income. If, however, you say it's considered adei adchak, that would then lead us to a machlokes tanoim, and that would have to be ruled upon. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.